And we've talked about what faith is. We talked about the faith of Abel, the faith of Enoch, and the faith of Noah. Now we're going to talk about the faith of Abraham. My kids are up on the front seat. I'm glad tonight. You know, Abraham came from that land that's right between the Tigris and Euphrates River. He didn't live in the Garden of Eden, but he lived between those rivers, real close to where they come together, in a little town called Ur. And people in that city worshipped statues and idols. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine somebody being so ignorant that they bow themselves down to a stump? That's what Jeremiah says. He says, they cut down a tree and they put gold on it and they fixed it with hammers and nails and they set it up and they bow themselves down to it and said, deliver me, for you're my God. Can you imagine that? People that worship idols become like them. They can't hear, they can't see, they have a nose, but they can't smell. Abram lived in that place. I don't know what Abram believed before God got a hold of him, but God got a hold of him. How many of you are going to believe the tale I'll tell you? A few years ago, there was a preacher named Perkle, P-I-R-K-L-E. He was from Mississippi. And we were at that time showing some motion pictures in the church building. They'd made some pictures about Bible topics. And this one was called, If Footmen Tire You, How Will You Contend with Horses? And Brother Perkle got up in the beginning of that show and he said that Shem, Noah's son, went down to Ur, which was in the Chaldees, and preached to Abram. And I thought to myself, where'd you get that from? It's like the guy that said that Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened, who attended to the things spoken by Paul and was baptized in her house. Some preacher said she had teenage children. And another guy says, where'd you get that from? He said, no, she didn't have teenage children. Said she only had one son. And said he parted hair in the middle. He had one brown eye and one blue eye. Said he talked with a lisp. Said, where'd you get that from? He said, I got it from the same place you got the teenagers. So that's the way it is about Shem going down to speak to Abram in Ur of the Chaldees. In the 8th verse of the 11th chapter of Hebrews, we read, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Now, this is loaded. Abram was 11 generations from from Noah. You have to kind of get the picture here. The ancestor of Abram is recorded in Genesis chapter 11, verse 10 through 27. We won't take time to read that tonight. But he is of the Semitic people, that is, he was of the descendants of Shem. Shem, Noah, Shem, Arphaxad, Selah, Eber, Peleg, Reu, Serug, Nahor, Terah, and then Abram. Abram lived 21 generations after the first man that was created, Adam. And he must have been born, at least he lived in Ur the Chaldees, a city at the head of the Persian Gulf, which would be in the modern land of Iraq today. This is nearly 300 years after the flood. His name was then Abram, not Abraham, which means exalted father. Bible says when he was called out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. Let's go back and read that in Genesis 12 and verse 1 through 5. One through five. Brother Clark, would you read that for us, please?
Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of that country, and from that kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and that curse thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, into the land of Canaan.
Wow. God promised this man. You know, I don't know how God spoke to him. There's no way to tell. But Abram got the message. God's promises are sure. When he makes a promise, it's good. You can depend on it. And Abram must have been regenerated when God dealt with him, because he heard and he obeyed what the Lord commanded him to do. A sevenfold blessing. Abram, he said, I'll make you a great nation. I will bless you. I'll make your name great. You know, somebody said this some years ago. You can say Theodore Roosevelt, and a lot of people know who you're talking about. You can say Adolf Hitler, and a lot of people understand who you're talking about. You can say Mussolini, and a lot of people know who you're talking about. Today, if you said Saddam Hussein, a lot of people know who you're talking about. But if someone says Abraham, more people on the face of this earth know who Abraham is than any other man. God said, I'll make your name great. And he said, you shall be a blessing. It's great to be a blessing. And he said, furthermore, I will bless them that bless you. People that blessed him were blessed. And I will curse them that curse you. That's the other side of the coin. And in you, he said, will all the families of the earth be blessed. That is a promise that comes through the seed of Abraham, not seeds, as we study in Galatians, Christ. And in him, every family on earth has been touched and blessed. And that's what he's talking about here. Now, God required some things of him. You know, God requires things of us. He promises to save us, forgive our sins, take care of us our whole lives. But he requires some things of us. I'll back to that in a minute. He said to Abram, get out of your country. It's a hard thing to leave your homeland. It's hard to leave the place where you grew up. Even if you grew up like Rick did, it's hard to leave cowboy land and go somewhere else. Daddy and Mama was messed up, and here you are, an orphan, and going from pillar to post, and still, you love the land and the country where you grew up. It's hard to get away from there. Not only that, leave your kindred, leave all your kinfolks, and leave your father's house, and go to a place that I'll tell you about. He went out not knowing where he was going. And how did he do that? He did that by faith. By faith, he went out. He obeyed and went out, not knowing where he was going. And he did all that in light of God's commandments and God's promises to him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, a lot of people don't believe that. Jesus said that to his disciples. We're talking today about people that move out into the world looking for employment and looking for what the world calls upward mobility. So they can take the steps up the ladder that they need to take. I thought that way for a long time. It was the wrong way to think. God's promise is that if we seek him first, he'll take care of our needs in some way. This is the thing that you cannot explain to people. You cannot say, well, he's going to do thus and thus and thus and thus. But he said, if you put me first, I will take care of you. I'll take care of you. What we're discussing is, instead of pressing so much for a job way out yonder somewhere, and you get out there, then you're in despair because there's no church. Well, what do? Well, I think the answer is obvious. You go somewhere where there is a church. And then you seek your livelihood there. Go put your light on a lampstand. And then seek your livelihood there. God says, I'll take care of you. Just seek me first in my righteousness. So Abram obeyed and went out, not knowing where he went. Because of his act of faith and his obedience, his name, God, later changed to Abraham. You're not going to be Abram anymore. You're going to be Abraham, which means not an exalted father, but a father of many nations. Read with me from Romans 4, verse 13 through 25. Brother Craig, would you please read that? 13 through 25.
Was promised that he should be the heir of the world, was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and promise made of none effect. Because the law works wrath, for where law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom we believe, even God, who quickens the dead, and calls those things which be not as though they were. So against hope, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which is spoken, so he shall that seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but with strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom we shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, and was raised again for our justification.
Well, that's a beautiful thing. It's not by his works, but it was by his faith and confidence and trust in God. The law works wrath, but it's by faith, so that it might be by grace, God's bestowment upon this man, and not only him, but it's not written just for him, but it's written for us who believe in him that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. The blessed thing here is that this leads into it. When he was 75 years old, none of us have got there yet. I'm 4 years away. I can't even imagine leaving where I live at 75 years old and taking everything I have and starting out to a place and I have no idea where I'm going. I can't even imagine that. That's hard to even think about. But he did. And God said, I'm going to make of you a great nation. 20 years went by. And it's still him and Sarah. Now he's 95. And he's beginning to wonder, God, what are you going to do? 20 years have gone by. Is your promise good? People say, I've tried to live all this year for the Lord, and it seemed like nothing's turned out right. 20 years went by, and he's talking to God, and he says, God, take my servant Eliezer, and let him be the one that makes me a nation. And God says, no. The one that's going to be the nation is going to come out of your loins. But God, I'm 95 years old. four more years went by. And the Lord visited him at the tent that day. He sat out there. He made them a supper, you remember. He said, hurry up and kill the calf. And Sarah, you make some cakes on the hearth. And he fed them as they come by. And he stood by and talked to the Lord. And then the Lord said, at this set time next year, Sarah will have a son. And she's standing in the tent, and she begins to giggle and laugh. He says, why did you laugh? And she did like Cody. She said, I didn't laugh. And he said, of course you did. But Abram believed what he said. And that's what this teaches us in Hebrews chapter 4. When he was about 100 years old, neither did he consider his own body, which was now basically dead. You know, you get to a place where there's no longer any feeling. It's just all gone. Somebody asked Bob Hope one time, said, how'd you feel when you were 80? He said, well, I could feel a little bit. I could get around. He said, I still chased the girls, but I chased them downhill. And he said, well, how was it when you were 90? He said, well, I quit chasing the girls. And he said, I slept a lot. He said, well, how was it when you got to be 100 years old? He said, I didn't feel anything. So, Abram didn't consider his own body, which was now dead, and Sarah was 90 years old, but he didn't stagger at God's promise through unbelief. But he believed that God was able to do what he said. And God brought him a son. And that son turned into a nation, and then sons came later with his next wife after Sarah, who was Keturah, and lots of children came from Ishmael, who was the bondmaid's wife, and then Keturah's children. God made of him a multitude. Verse 9 in our text in Hebrews 11 says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. God took Abram to the land of the Canaanite, the land which is today occupied by the nation of Israel. It was in this strange land, which he had never been, that he sojourned. To sojourn means to dwell for a time. That's your bent of mind. Is I'm only going to be here for a little while. A lot of Texas and Arkansas people used to come to Alaska to sojourn. So he was sojourning in Canaan. And so this was the land of promise. It was a place that God led him to. So it was here in this land that he would receive the manifold blessing of God. Notice that he dwelt in tabernacles with both Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. He lived in tents. We won't read it tonight, but in Genesis 26, 1 through 5, God made the same promise to Isaac, as he did to Abraham. He reiterated the promise that he had already made to Isaac's father, Abraham. And then in Genesis 28, verse 10 through 15, you remember Jacob went out. He had tricked Esau because his mom had talked him into it. And then his daddy said, you got to run for your life. I want you to take off. So he took off, and that night he stopped and found him a flat rock and lay down and went to sleep and had a dream. And he dreamed about the ladder going up to heaven, remember? And the angels were ascending and descending on the ladder. And it was at that place that God said, I'm going to reiterate my promise I made to your grandpa Abraham and to your father Isaac. This land on which you now lie, I will give to you and to your seed forever. So he reiterated that promise in Genesis chapter 28. He said, I'm going to be with you where you go, and I will never leave you until I've done everything that I've spoken of about. And so God's promise was good. Now, verse 10. And we want to stop here with verse 10 for tonight. For because he, Abraham, looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. This gives us a reason why he considered himself as a temporary resident of Canaan, the land of promise, while he was living in that tent. How many of you have ever seen a picture of a Bedouin tent? You ever seen that? It is about the worst excuse for a tent that I've ever seen, but I guess it works in that country. We were coming out of Jerusalem, driving down to Jericho. We just got out of Jerusalem and we were going down the road. And we look over to the right and there's a big, big, tall television antenna and a Cadillac and a tent, a Bedouin tent. I'm not joking. That's exactly what we saw. It reminded me of a sharecropper's place down in Arkansas. It looks just about the same. Here's this tent, and it's flat. And what they do is tie down the four corners, and they stick poles up all underneath it. And the thing has got pointed places all under it. Otherwise, it's flat. And it looks like an army camouflage net. And it looks like that they took what they had and just took it under there and threw it. That's the way it looks from the outside. So that's where Abraham and his children were living that kind of life. That's why they call it a Bedouin life. They are travelers from one place to another. But Abraham was looking for a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. What's the foundation of a tent? Sand. And they just stick the pole under it, and that's it. But Abraham wanted something that he could dig his roots into. And that was the holy city that you and I are looking forward to seeing one of these days before long. Now, in verse 13 through 16 of Hebrews 11, it says this. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. That tells us if you want to go back and you wish you could go back, you probably will. That's why God said to Lot and his family, don't look back, but she looked back. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. These heroes of faith in chapter 11 of Hebrews will be in and around that city that we call the city, the home of the bride of Christ. They are not part of the bride, but they are looking for that city, just like we're looking for that city that has foundation. And I think this is the view of all of God's children who live by faith. Their long home is a city with foundations. Same city that Abraham was looking forward to. You and I tonight are among the strangers from Israel who were once without hope that have been brought from the four winds and will have the privilege to sit down in the kingdom with this great man of faith. Jesus said in Matthew 8, I'll close with this, many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Israel as a nation was cut off. They were termed the children of the kingdom. And the Lord said, I'll bring people from everywhere else and they'll sit down in the kingdom with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. So we'll see this great man one of these days, or too long. Okay, thank you much. Appreciate your comments. Any comments?